Good evening. In this particular short talk, I will be looking at Numbers 4 through Numbers 15. And for the most part, from Numbers 4 through chapter 12, I'm just going to highlight a few brief comments on them and then do a little bit more in depth on 13, 14, and 15. In Numbers 4, God told Moses to number the sons of Kohath, the sons of Gershon, and Merari, or however you say it. God gave, and these men were, after they were numbered, they were to be from the ages of 30 to 50. And God gave instruction for them from the tribe of Levi to see that they would be doing the work in the tabernacle. And God gave specific instructions on what skins and cloth materials and colors and vessels and utensils and etc. were to be used in the tabernacle. And Numbers 5 was about the law of restoration for sins to be paid back five times the worth of the offense. Also, in Numbers 5, there was the jealousy law. And if a man thought that his wife had committed adultery, she would be taken to the temple and drink bitter water. And if she was guilty of adultery, then her belly would swell and her thigh would rot. And number 6 was the law given to those who wanted to take the Nazarite vow. And also the Lord told Moses to, told Aaron and his sons to bless the children of Israel. Number 7, the people dedicated the altar to the Lord, and all the tribes brought an offering to the dedication. In Numbers 8, the Lord told Moses to cleanse the Levites so that they could do the service in the tabernacle. In Numbers 9, the Lord told Moses for the children to keep the Passover on the 14th day of the first month of Abib, which, to my understanding, is our April. And the cloud was over the tabernacle by day and an appearance of a pillar of fire by night. And when the cloud were to move, the children of Israel were to pack up all their belongings in the tabernacle and follow the cloud or the fire by day or night. In Numbers 10, the Lord told Moses to make two trumpets of silver for calling the assembly at the door of the camp at the tabernacle, to call the leaders of the tribe together to sound an alarm for war or to be used in moving the camp or for a special announcement. After Israel had been in the area of Mount Sinai for an entire year, the cloud began to move, and the Israelites followed to Paran. In Numbers 11, the people complained because of their unbelief, and God sent a fire to consume them. When the people called to Moses, he prayed for the fire to stop. Some of the Egyptians that were with them in the tribe of Israel from when they had left Egypt started complaining that they wanted flesh to eat instead of the manna that God had provided them daily. Moses got fed up with the people complaining with him, and he told God that he was not able to take care of all this people by himself, and God told him to find 70 elders and bring them to the tabernacle. And then God took part of the Holy Spirit off of Moses and put it on the 70 elders and they prophesied. The Lord told Moses to tell Israel that they would be eating flesh for a whole month. When the wind came and blew in the quail into the camp, they gathered the quail for 24 hours, and when the people ate it, they were struck with a plague, and it killed many of them. In chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron were jealous of Moses and spoke against him. And the Lord called them to go to the tabernacle and told them that Moses was a faithful servant and they should be afraid to speak against him. The Lord made Miriam a leper, and Moses prayed that she would be healed. And the Lord said that she was to be taken outside of the camp for 7 days, and then she was healed. In chapter 13, even though God had already promised the land of the people, the land of Canaan, that it would be theirs, because of their unbelief, they insisted on sending 12 spies to search out the land for 40 days. And they got back to the camp, and Joshua and Caleb were the only two men they had enough faith, and they said that they could possess the land. And the other 10 men said that they were unable to do so. They didn't trust God, and God said that they were as grasshoppers among giants. In chapter 14, the people, in their unbelief, wanted to replace Moses and go back to Egypt. Only Joshua and Caleb urged the people to go possess the land in Canaan, and the people wanted to stone them. The Lord told Moses he would kill all the people and make Moses a great nation, but Moses interceded for the people. So the Lord forgave the people, but they still had to be punished for their sins. Their punishment was that they would be wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. 1 year for each day the spies had searched out the land until every older person above the age of 20 was dead, except for Joshua and Caleb. And the other 10 spies were killed immediately by the plague. So the next morning, the people realized their sin and went out to fight the Amalekites and the Canaanites. Moses tried to tell them that the Lord was not with them, but they would not listen, and they were defeated. In chapter 15, God tells Moses how the sacrifices were to be done once the 40 years was ended of their wandering in the wilderness. When they came to the promised land, the children were to offer sacrifices of lamb, ram, and bullocks, and make meat offerings of bread and oil in various amounts, depending on what animal was offered for what offense. And the same was true in different amounts of wine in the drink offering. For us today, Jesus is our sacrifice for sin. And one can't help but think about the bread offering and the drink offering likened to that when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. And in closing, thank God that we are under grace. And praise the Lord for his accomplishment on the cross.
Had been considering doing a short talk on the topic of uncleanness because it comes up so much, especially in Leviticus, but it also comes up a lot in Numbers, but I just decided there's way too much material just for a 5 or 10 minute talk for all the points that I would want to make. So I'm just going to do a quick outline of the second part of what we were reading this week, and then also point out a few interesting notes on some of those passages. I have a little bit of overlap here, because the way the book's outlined, the way I outlined the book, it fit a little bit better to include 15 in there. So chapters 15 through 19 cover the wanderings in the wilderness, and chapter 15 basically covers the laws that they have for when they reach Canaan. It includes also the laws for unintentional sins and an example of what the consequences of breaking the Sabbath should be, and also has the short passage on having tassels on their garments. Chapter 16 covers Korah's rebellion and the after effects of that with the plague and such. Chapter 17 has the proof that Aaron was God's chosen priest, and with his staff budding and that story there. Chapter 18 has laws for the priests and for the Levites. Chapter 19 covers how to be purified from uncleanness. And one interesting note in there is that in making the water for purification, the person making the water for purification becomes unclean in that process. It's because uncleanness represents sin. It gives an example of just how much or how hard it is to avoid it and eradicate sin, because just trying to clean somebody else's life up, you're likely to get in trouble trying to do that as well. Chapters 20 through 26 cover the travel to the Promised Land. Chapter 20 includes the sin of Moses when he struck the rock, when he was only supposed to speak to it and didn't give God the glory. It also covers Miriam and Aaron's deaths, and also Edom refusing to let Israel pass through their land. Chapter 21 has the initial wars south and east of Canaan, traveling around Edom, and also the story of the bronze serpent. Then chapters 22 through 25 are Moab's attempts to try and stop Israel with Balaam's help. So 22 through 24 is the well-known story of Balak and Balaam, and then 25 is the children of Israel getting into worshiping Baal and whoring with the daughters of Moab. Chapter 26 is the second census of the children of Israel. And then chapter 27, which was the last chapter we were reading this week, has the inheritance laws with particular note of the daughters of Zelophehad and their situation, and also Joshua being named as Moses' successor. And some of the interesting things I wanted to bring up, in chapter 19, with the water of purification, at least at first glance, it just seems like a really weird set of ingredients to make this water of purification. Chapter 19, I'll just start reading in verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "This is the statute of the law that the Lord has commanded. Tell the people of Israel to bring you a red heifer without defect, in which there is no blemish, and on which a yoke has never come. And you shall give it to Eleazar the priest, and it shall be taken outside the camp and slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood toward the front of the tent of meeting 7 times. And the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its skin, its flesh, and its blood with its dung shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet yarn and throw them into the fire burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. But the priest shall be unclean until evening. Let's see. I don't want to read any further. Yeah, I'll go ahead and keep reading a little bit. The one who burns the heifer shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his body in water and shall be unclean until evening. And a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and deposit them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the water for impurity, for the congregation of the people of Israel. It is a sin offering. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. And this shall be a perpetual statute for the people of Israel and for the stranger who sojourns among them. So we have a red heifer, we have hyssop, we have cedar wood, and scarlet yarn, or some translations say wood or scarlet material. Some translations just say scarlet. And it just seems like such a strange mix of things. But what it is, it's actually a recipe for soap. It's a mild soap. Because most homemade soaps use lye. And lye, one of the main ways to obtain lye is you pour water through ashes. And it picks up the lye out of the ashes. So they burn the heifer and they throw in the hyssop and other stuff in there and to make the ashes from which they get the lye. So it's a lye soap. But hyssop is used because the oil of hyssop has several interesting properties. It's antibacterial, it's antiviral, and it's antimicrobial. And there's one source that I saw that mentioned there's also a strain of mold that produces penicillin that can grow on the leaves. And it also contains the antiseptic thymol, the same ingredient that we find today in some brands of mouthwash. The other two ingredients being the cedar wood. One of the sources I was looking at said the oil from the cedar wood in the mixture provided a minor skin irritant that would have encouraged scrubbing. And the scarlet wool added wool fibers to the concoction, which adds some texture to help scrubbing action. So that's an interesting thing in there, that it's not just some purposeless conglomeration of stuff. It's actually has a reason to why it's the water for purification. Also of note, in Numbers 21, with the story of the bronze serpent, is the impact that Israel had on history with the story. Because the Greeks, the image for their god of healing was a serpent twined on a pole. And also that's continued to be a symbol for people in the medical profession today. And then also John chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. John 3, verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. It's also symbolic of Jesus' death. And then the last point I wanted to bring up was Numbers chapter 20 and verses 7 through 11. Numbers chapter 20 and starting in verse 7, with Moses bringing water out of the rock. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them, and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their livestock. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 refers back to this story. Let me go ahead and read that passage real quick. when Paul wrote, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." Also of note in that is in John chapter 4, verse 10, and chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, Jesus refers to himself as the living water. So that's all I was going to be covering here this evening. So.